Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to episode number 53 of the Top Advisor Marketing Podcasts. Today we're going to talk about keys to building relationships, staying connected to generations. You all have heard this. Every broker-dealer conference, all sorts of all-over investment news, Financial Planning Magazine, that there are massive issues when it comes to this big wealth transfer that's going to happen. And we have two specialists with us today, including, of course, Kirk Lowe. Kirk, how you doing, man?
Very good. Glad to have Luke and Andrew here with us today.
So we do have Luke Acree and Andrew Saxa, who are going to talk to us about these keys to building deep relationships. Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thanks for having us on the show. Excited to be here. Thanks very much.
So let's jump right into telling us a little bit about how you guys kind of got into doing what you're doing, and give us a brief overview of what that is, please.
Sure. So I'll try not to bore you guys with this saga, but we have been in marketing, particularly relationship marketing, for the past over a decade now. So we've been doing this for 13 years. We work with financial advisors, insurance agents, real estate agents, people who their bread and butter is built off of connecting with other individuals, building relationships, and obviously turning those relationships into deals for their business. And so our business has been based around building touch points for you to send to your clients that will resonate with them, that are relevant to them, so you can then build that relationship and leverage it to obviously get more opportunity through referrals, and then more importantly, have repeat transactions through that client. So that's what got us into this business, is doing marketing for sales professionals, particularly in the finance and real estate world.
And why don't you just, because I didn't say it, what's the name of your company?
It's Reminder Media.
Reminder Media. Fantastic. Now, when we were preparing for the podcast today, you guys were spitting out some massive quotes and some statistics and all of that stuff. Let's jump right into those. What is the most staggering statistic that we should be paying attention to right now?
The statistic out there really is this $31 trillion, which is the largest transfer of wealth in recorded history, being handed down from the baby boomer generation to the X generation. And the follow-on to that statistic is that over 98% of the time, when the financial advisor doesn't have a connection to the kids, that X generation child, the account actually gets ACAT'd out within the next 30 days. So within 30 days after that wealth hits the child's hands, the account gets transferred away.
Now let's talk about that a little bit more, because I think that goes deeper than just relationships, but relationships would be the key. Why, what has research shown? Why does that happen? I mean, what's going on? Is it because they're in crippling debt, or because they don't really understand finances? What has your research shown?
It's actually bigger than that. The funny thing is in a recent survey with over 1,000 investors that was conducted by MFS, they found out that 75% of the time, the children had no connection whatsoever to the parent's financial advisor. It really stems from the fact that there's just no connection at all.
And not even no connection. I would make the point they never even met him. That's what the survey, like it said, no connection, but never even met. 75% of the clients said their children have never met their financial advisor.
Oh, that's just brutal.
So there's a tangible takeaway for you right there is, have the children, have your client's children met you? And if not, you should be running to meet them right away, introduce yourself.
Absolutely.
I see a trend happening. And I had a meeting yesterday with I don't know the age of the advisor, but it was two advisors. One, I'm guessing one was in the 55-year-old range, and the other one was in the 40-year-old range, and a female 40-year-old and male 55-year-old. Which seems to be probably a trend too. Anyway, and the interesting thing is that they've joined forces and they're working together, but he's kind of still doing it his way and she's doing it her way. And as we started talking, I said, look, if you guys want a brand that's going to work for both of you, you have to combine forces. Not just you work your way and you're in the same office and you help each other a bit, but you have to have one process. And it's interesting that these aging male advisors, typically, they're using this as a bit of a succession plan, but it more important maybe than succession plan is connecting with these other generations. And her way was better at connecting with people. She wanted to do a plan. She was doing behavioral stuff. She's talking to multiple generations. Well, she's interested in talking to a younger generation than he is. So she's automatically more engaged with the younger generations and not just mom and dad at 55, 65, 75, 85 years old. But the reason that they're doing this, I'm not sure. I think it's more succession oriented than it is connecting with generations. But I think advisors need to pay a heck of a lot of attention to what you guys are talking about. What's going on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Another great point is the wife is also three times more likely to give a referral to that financial advisor in the first place. Great point.
It's interesting. I think you're touching on something that I believe wholeheartedly in marketing, because that's obviously what we do, is you want to look at your marketing that you're doing in order to help you connect with other generations, the kids, to help you connect with the wife. You want to look at your marketing through the eyes of relevancy and saying, what is it that I'm sending, and is it relevant to the person that's receiving it? And I think what you just touched on with this whole behavioral and succession planning and all that, that's super relevant, and that's why she's having success attracting and connecting with the kids, because even though that is financial-based and it's maybe transactional-based, this is a service that they can offer, it's connecting because it's relevant. So what I would say to you, as you're looking at your book of business and your marketing, you should be looking at it from a standpoint of going, what am I sending to my clients? What in my calls that I'm having with them, in my client events, what am I doing that would be relevant to the younger generation that would attract them to come? The party that I'm throwing for my clients, is it relevant to where kids would actually come to it, right? The seminars that I'm hosting, am I doing topics that are relevant to them so they would build a relationship with me? And I think that's where we fall down so often in our businesses, is we tend to focus on one person, and that's either the breadwinner or the person that's handling the accounts, and all of our focus goes to them, our phone calls go to them, our client annual reviews go to them, the updates and emails go to them, and we don't focus on the generation of the children, the wife, and give stuff that's relevant to them as well.
Yeah, those are really good points. I have nothing more to say.
I got speechless.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You don't stump Kirk very often. That's pretty impressive.
No, I just wanted you guys to know that I go on a bit, but I was done there. Just a cue. Okay, you guys start talking.
So let's talk about the connections a little bit more, guys. I want to spend a little bit more time on. Okay, we've identified the problem, right? You've created a very compelling argument, but now what? I mean, how? What are the touch points that we should be looking at in order to have this continue?
Right. So I think the first step is to, I don't know if the people listening to this have a CRM in their business and how they're tracking their clients and keep a track of people. But the first thing I would challenge everybody to do is go through this exercise of understanding do you know what your clients are interested in that's more than just about the transaction of their finances. Meaning what I work through with my clients is going, let's take Bill and Judy as an example. Could you tell me right now the charities that Bill and Judy invest in, the hobbies that Judy loves animals and that she works at an animal shelter, that Bill is super involved in his church? Could you tell me those things, and do you have a system in your business to keep track of these things? Because I think then the tangible touch point becomes based upon those things. I always give the example of my wife's a vegetarian. Or one of our products is a magazine that has recipes in it. It's super popular for us. It's our most popular part of the magazine is the food. That's not surprising, but it's the most popular part. And I use the example that my wife's a vegetarian. So if you send her a recipe that's like a bacon recipe or something like that, it's not going to resonate with her. And it's going to show that you actually don't know her personally, right? But if you send her a recipe that's a vegetarian recipe, and then you follow it up, whether it's at an event, maybe it's a client phone call, and just checking in, hey, Megan, want to see how you and Luke were doing, want to see if you got the recipe that I sent you, it made me think of you because I know you're into the vegetarian recipes, I thought it'd be really nice. That is going to generate this buzz and it's going to generate this excitement, and that's what's going to build the relationship. So I guess the point I'm making is that go through the exercise of your book of business, the 50, 100, 300 people, whatever it is, and ask yourself, do you know personal things about these people, their likes, their interests, their desires, their wants? Then translate those things into the touch points that you send them and the conversations that you have with them. And that's going to build the relationship, which will ultimately allow you to leverage it to capture more opportunity and not lose it if, for some reason, God forbid, you know, they pass away and it goes to their kids.
Well, first off, I just want to say out loud, I wasn't aware that vegetarians didn't eat bacon. But secondly...
It's hard to believe that anybody would forgo bacon. Yeah, well, I'm definitely not a vegetarian.
Yeah, I have no idea. But the point is a fantastic point. In fact, Kirk and I are doing a podcast series called the 12 Days of Marketing. And okay. In one of the podcasts, we specifically talk about the ideal client profile. And part of that is asking these questions. Like, if I want to attract, and that's the whole thing here, right? So we have this thing, it's called the brand foundation. It's a brand blueprint, right? And so it's attract, intrigue, engage, and influence. And if we don't know what you guys are talking about, if I don't know that you're a vegetarian, and if I send you beef jerky of the month, that's really going to piss you off, right? And you're going to be like, dude, this guy doesn't know me at all. But then you have to expand that even more. And I would hope that almost everybody who's listening to our podcast has a CRM and a moderately good one. But as you both know, they're not the best, right? I mean, CRMs don't always have these added categories or the flexibility to add. We're problem solvers here. How do you and how have you found a way to help them with that if their CRM can't do that for them?
Yes, in our system specifically, in regards to like our business, for like our touch points, we give you a place in your account interface where you can take put notes and actually tie in likes and interests of your recipient base so you can refer back to that. And then in our coaching, one of the things that I am super passionate about is proactive marketing versus passive marketing, where passive is a lot of times we like to set up touchpoint campaigns and let them go, leave them and forget them, and never, you know, hopefully they rain magic from the sky. My experience in marketing is that usually doesn't work. You usually have to add a little bit of effort and proactivity to your marketing. And so what we do is in our account interface, we give you a place to where you can do your notes, you can put likes and interests, and then we trigger for you, hey, your magazine just hit, your email just hit, follow up. And the point would be you go in your interface, you see the likes and interests, it's tied to, you know what was in your magazine that went out, and now you can place a phone call proactively to your clients to check in and leverage that. So if there was a vegetarian recipe, because that's the example we're using, in the magazine, you know that because you're in your account interface, you can see it, you give a call to them, you know they're a vegetarian, there's your conversation starter. Hey, wanted to check and see if you got the latest magazine, see how you guys were doing. Actually, I was thinking of you because in the latest magazine was a vegetarian recipe. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to trigger that ability.
Well, that's another key component that I don't want to go unnoticed here is the follow-up aspect of it, right? So there, everybody is looking for the golden goose of set it and forget it marketing, and that does not exist, especially in the world that we live in today. And for me, I think it's fascinating the medium in which you're using, because there could be a lot of people who would argue that that medium is... I mean, it's not a modern medium, guys. I mean, it really isn't. I mean, help me with that.
I hear all the time, print is dead. How are you in the print business? I always look at people and I tell them, you know, I'm not in the print business. I truly am in the business of connecting relationships through valuable content. And one of the mediums that we do that through is a print magazine. We have a digital version of the magazine for people who want to send it digitally, so they can do that as well. The key that I refocus people back on is that our value proposition has been we send content to people that they actually engage with and they don't throw away. The problem with postcards or newsletters or these other avenues, nothing wrong with them. They generate a certain statistic of return. But the truth is if the postcard doesn't hit you at the exact right time, you throw it in the circular bin. Where with our magazine, what we found just from our research and then outside firms researching is that because of the quality and the content, and because it's actually not business oriented, it doesn't have to do with finance, believe it or not, people actually bring it in their home because it's entertainment, and they leave it on their coffee table. It lives for about 4 weeks. But the point I'm trying to make here is that what I always tell people is that focus first and foremost on the value and how that's relevant to the recipient. And at the end of the day, whether they get it through text, email, phone call, print, it doesn't matter because it's valuable to them. It resonated with them and they keep it.
Kirk?
I got lots of thoughts going through the head here. I guess I'm curious about what are advisors doing right now? Because it feels like, I know that they've got to go get all the stuff, but are there some ideas that you guys have seen working? Because a magazine is a really great, I don't know if it's icebreaker, but it's a conversational piece. It's thoughtful. It's personal because it comes directly to them. And I've got a copy of the magazine. It's very well done, very professional, good writing, wonderful artwork. I like it a lot. What are other things you can do outside of just sending the magazine? I know you've touched on a couple of them, but maybe give us some thoughts and some other ideas. I've got a couple of my own too, but let you guys kind of go here.
Another platform that we actually offer as well is social media, what we call social media shares. And again, it's so important for the financial advisor to communicate to the client in ways that aren't always about the most recent statement, aren't always about the prospectus I sent out. Because once again, when you're sending out things like newsletters that are so financial-centric, yes, it's great. The client loves it. But where does that brand, your message end up at the end of the day? Most of the time, it goes right to a filing cabinet. Once again, to have your brand on their coffee table constantly where they're going and grabbing for that remote to change the channel and they see your face looking back at them with something that actually was meaningful to them, that matters. And then when we introduce social media, what we found out, just to kind of piggyback on that a little bit, is the fact that, again, financial advisors are great when it comes to communicating about what's going on with the markets. But if you can send something on their Facebook or their LinkedIn that actually matches up to their lifestyle, once again, that now you've profiled and you understand better, that is meaningful to them, that connection not only gets deeper, but who are they going to share that information with? And that's the real value, because once again, through Facebook, if they take that snippet that we shared with them and all of a sudden they've shared it out to 20 or 30 people, now all of a sudden you have a Facebook connection to their high net worth best friends, colleagues, coworkers, and it just continues to grow and blossom from there.
I have a question for you guys. Do you guys use your own, do you own all the articles, all the content?
Yeah, we created all in-house. We have contract writers across the country that write for us and submit to be written, but we also have inside editing team, content writers and stuff, so we create it all.
So social media-wise, do you guys create digital versions of each of the articles that if they want to be able to send, is that what you're sending out, or is it just a PDF of the inside of the magazine or the whole magazine? How does that work?
Yes, yeah, so it's actually both. So you can share the whole magazine on social, or you can share articles on social. We actually go as far as we have hundreds of different DIYs and recipes, and we have a whole video team that films and brings these recipes to life. It's like a minute video of making the recipe, and we also travel around the nation and bring the articles to life. So we have something called ALTV, where you actually take an article and we send our video team out there and interview it and put it on video so you can start connecting through video as well, because we know obviously people want to be engaged through video as well as print and being able to read an article. You're able to share all these things. A point I wanted to make about Facebook that's very interesting that I think is relevant to business owners is that Facebook's algorithm is it shows you things that you engage with. And so what happens to businesses all the time is they constantly post things about their business. Finance, maybe it's the market updates. Real estate, maybe it's your listings. And what happens is I, as your friend, I'm happy to see that and I'm proud of you, but I'm not engaging with it because it's not interesting to me. Kind of spatter in some personal or lifestyle content, I should say, like recipes or the best ways to fix up your home, stuff like that. What happens is you're going to get more engagement. And when they like that, Facebook Facebook's algorithm in the background is now more likely to show your other stuff. So now your market updates and stuff will be seen, and it's just something to keep in mind that Facebook is going to show in people's news feeds based upon how they engage with you.
So you guys are what you're doing is a wonderful compliment to what we're doing and with advisors. So I'm starting to get excited here.
I love it.
A couple things that come to mind. I don't usually do this in the middle of a podcast, but I am today because this is what we do.
Why the heck not?
What you guys are doing is you are producing content that is personal interest. One of the challenges that our advisors have, so we do social media for advisors. We don't do social media unless they're doing podcasting with us. And if they're not doing podcasting, but they're doing blogging, which rarely happens for advisors, then we might do their social media anyway. But typically they're doing podcasting first and then we do social media. Most advisors, the podcasting thing happens twice a month. We got good content there. Just like you said, advisors spend too much time. We were earlier this year sending out, and it was my fault, sending out way too much podcast content through our social channels. And we've since hired two social media people who are fantastic, Kaylee and Jessica. They're amazing. And they both, and them and Matt said, wait a second, this is overkill. So we completely changed the model, and man, is it ever working better. And a lot of it is by adding personal interest stuff, community-based stuff, and also promoting centers of influence and stuff that they're doing. So there's a lot of curation. There's some curation going on, mm-hmm. not a lot, some. But where they struggle, I think, is getting some of the personal interest stuff figured out. Maybe if they're into golf and beaches and kites. I don't know where kites came from, but anyway.
That's a personal preference of yours, kites.
You know what? I was in my friend's basement the other night, and he had this massive kite. That's where it was. I was helping him move something. I was like, that is a big kite. So it stuck in my head. Anyway, I wish the beach thing was more real, though, because I haven't been to a beach for too long, so I got to get there. Anyway, you've got all this great – you've got personal interest content at a high, high quality with great imagery that's available. They can – That's amazing stuff, just like you said, to share in social. It gets way more engagement. People mm-hmm. start to feel like, wow, I like this person. They get me. They just – vegetarian recipe. Love it. By the way, Matt, beef jerky was on your mind. Beef jerky of the month. Hopefully it wasn't on your mind because you're about to send that to me for Christmas. No, I am vegetarian.
I know you're a vegetarian.
Just like Luke's wife.
That's why I was poking you with the bacon too, dude. That's all right. So.
Except for my wife's dad lives downstairs, her parents, in a beautiful basement apartment. And – they have, I always say that because when I say her parents
yeah,
are in the basement,
you tucked
like,
him
oh,
in the
that's
basement.
Cruel.
Yeah,
that's cruel.
Gotcha. No,
it's actually the nicest floor in the house. He would probably eat it. Not probably. He would,
he would eat the heck out of the beef jerky.
Yeah.
Well,
he's great.
Kirk, I love where you're going with that. And I'm going to tell a first person story. One of the clients that we have right now, guys, we have just done something like, I mean, obviously, I think you guys are next level from where we are with this, but because this is really solely what you do. But when we did post something like this, We of course do all of our analytics because advisors are numbers people, and we want to make sure that we're showing results. And the curated material about their likes and passions, right, were astronomically higher engagement. I mean, not just likes, but shares and comments, and all of the sudden, advisors need to realize that they're humans and people want to connect with them as humans. You said it earlier in the podcast. They want to know you. They want to like you. They want to trust you. And unless you're building something and unless your public persona, whether it's a sweet magazine that's sitting on your coffee table or whether it's awesome social media, whether it's any of those things, the videos that you guys are talking about, people want to know who you are. They assume you know what you're talking about. I was meeting with Lisa and Kaylee earlier, and we were talking about we have to come up with a formula because advisors love formulas. But it has to be a true formula. Luke and Andrew, the formula that we're talking about, and maybe it's something we can work together on, is what is the right, most optimal business versus personal sharing algorithm that we can create or formula that we can create, because right now it's so weighed on the dull, boring financial services stuff where it probably should be the other way. What do you guys think?
I 100% agree with you is that it tends to be way too business oriented. I hate using the 80-20 rule. I tend to talk to people in that term and say, look, 80% of what you should be posting on social should really be lifestyle, personal journey, personal stuff. As crazy as that sounds, but that is really what people want to know. It's like, instead of just you giving a market update, get a picture of you at your computer doing something with the finances, because at least you're adding a personal flair to it. It's you actually working, and this is your journey, and this is your story, and this is what you're doing. I always tell people 80% should be lifestyle. Even if it's your work, it's you doing your work, so it's your story, who you are, when you wake up, when you start at work, when you're going to bed, that type of idea. And then 20% would be spattered in with the, or peppered in, I should say, with your business content.
And just to add a little to that, the next issue that we have coming out, which is our pet edition, advisors love it so much because they get to put their dog on
Absolutely.
The cover with the advisor. And the funny thing is they get more telephone calls from their mm-hmm. clients saying, oh, I didn't know you had a Cocker Spaniel as well. It's unbelievable.
Here's what's crazy is that we ran a competition on our American Lifestyle Facebook page, where we just said we want photo submissions of you and your pet. And this is why, this is that social hacking or that personal content. Yep. We literally got 900 pet photos in 2 days.
Wow.
In 2 days. It was insane. I think right now they're voting on the top pet pictures, and we're going to give like a free charcoal painting away or something like that. But that's something that like you can apply to your business if you're listening to this as a financial advisor or any business professional, is like, that has nothing to do with our business necessarily at Reminder Media of marketing, but we're tapping into that social aspect of people love their pets. So we said, we want to do a pet competition. We're sending us a photo of your pet. And we got like 900 submissions in 2 days. It was crazy.
Guys, guess what? Guess what kind of dog Matt has? You have to guess what breed.
Chihuahua.
On the entire other end of the spectrum there, buddy.
Oh, man. Full. Great Dane, baby.
I have a 140-pound St. Bernard.
Oh, my gosh.
He's not very photogenic because he looks tired or wasted all the time, which makes me personally very happy, but he's not the most photogenic animal. We need to wrap up today's podcast, but here's the deal, guys. We're going to hold you to this. When we were talking before the podcast, you said that our listeners were going to be able to get a special offer. So why don't you share what that is, please?
Yeah, absolutely. We have decided that anybody listening to this, we're going to give you our group discount. So normally you have to be in a group setting of 10 people, but obviously we have more than 10 people listening to this. So we're going to give you our group discount. Our normal setup fee is $299, and we'll reduce that for $99 for you. And then our normal price per magazine is tier-based, and it starts at $4.99. And if you go up to you doing like 1,000 magazines, it would be $3.79. But what we'll do is we'll give you magazines at $3.79, no matter if you do 50 or if you do 1,000.
Sweet.
So that will give you an easy way to try it out where you're not, you know, spending an outrageous amount of money. You can really dive in and test this out, because we have found that literally 87% of people who do this with us one time do this with us for more than 18 months because of the results that.
Well, Luke and Andrew, thank you very, very much for being a guest on our show today.
Love it. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thanks.
All right. And for Kirk Lowe, this is Matt Haller. And this was episode 53, Keys to Relationship Building, Staying Connected to Generations, with Luke Acree and Andrew Saxa. And if you have not connected with them on LinkedIn, make sure that you find both of them. We'll have some more connection stuff in the show notes. And if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, make sure that you do, so that when we come out with these, they go right to your listening device. All right. Happy holidays, everybody. And we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.